Now, Church, we are in our third week of looking at our Connected and Inspired series. But more than that, it's also what and who we are as a church, what it means for us to be really connected with God. So I'm going to put the little slide that gives us our overview of what all of this is, you know, to be connected with God and being inspired by Jesus and the Word of God. What it means for us to be connected with our fellow believers, but also being an inspiration to our fellow believers. And today I'm going to explore with us what it means that we are connected with our community, that is, broader community, and how we can be an inspiration to that broader community. So bear with me. As we start to think about this, we need to think beyond the walls of our church. We need to think beyond what it means that we live our personal lives, but we actually start thinking about the city that we live in. And you may actually, as you are thinking about that today, you may actually be thinking about the ongoing needs, the concerns that are there, how people may actually be really lonely, even though we're more connected than ever, even though we may be busy and doing things more and more and involved in activities, the level of loneliness has increased. You may be keenly aware of the struggles that are happening maybe in your life or maybe in people that you know around the cost of living. You may be keenly aware of how within our community there is a rising level of hatred, division, and racism that is happening. I don't know about you, but did you see the news where they were reporting on the ANZAC services in Sydney and Melbourne? And the evidence of that social division, the evidence of that hatred and racism raising its head in the booing, it made me sad. I don't know whether it made you sad and angry, but it did. So what do we do about it? Today, we've just had two passages read to us from the Bible, from Matthew and Philippians. And those two passages are going to help us understand what it means for us actually to be an inspiration to our community and how we should be connected with it. They're powerful, and there's a thread that runs through them. It's about God's people who are meant to be seen, not for self-glory, but for the glory of God, because what happens when we're seen for the glory of God, it becomes unmistakable in our dark world. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Notice that Jesus didn't actually say, try to become the light or work hard to be the salt. He said, you are. And this is actually a language of identity here. It's a language of identity, not a language of activity. And that actually matters. Because if we miss who we are, if we miss our identity, that's actually going to reduce our performance as a Christian. What we'll do is we'll try to act like living out the light rather than actually having Christ's light become who we are. So when our identity is settled, what happens is activity naturally flows from that. We don't shine to become the light. Rather, we shine because of Christ's light within us. So like last time I was sharing this message, I'm going to put up a couple of points for us, and I'm going to put up an application that comes from that. So the first of this, that as we look at those two passages, that we have this thing about what it means for us to be connected with our community in ways that are meaningful and appropriate and show Christ's love, but more importantly, how we can actually inspire our community to be so much more and inspire our community to know Christ. And the first of these things, the first of these points I want to share with you is it's about identity before activity. Jesus begins with that declaration that you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Now, light doesn't strive to be visible. It actually simply exists. It simply exists, and visibility flows because of that. The moment that the light shows up, darkness goes. In the same way, when Christ transforms a life, something fundamentally changes. You don't just adopt new habits, you actually receive a new identity in Christ. You are made new in Christ. You are now a child of God, a carrier of God's presence, a reflection of God's glory. You know, and Paul actually echoes this in Philippians 2. He calls the believers children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. This is not a command to act like children of God. It's a call to live in accordance with who we already are. Children of God, redeemed by Christ. And here's this thing. Here's the application I want us to live. Ask yourself this question. Am I living from identity or am I striving for identity? That's a powerful question. Are we living because of Christ's identity in us, or are we striving through all the things that we do to form some form of identity? Are your good works flowing from who you are in Christ, or are you trying to earn something that is already being given through Christ? Powerful for us to hear. Our second point I want to make is this. Our lives are actually meant to reflect God's glory. Jesus goes on to say something incredibly important for us. He says, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Notice that we're meant to be the light, but we're meant to shine out so that everyone will see and praise our God. And that's the purpose of visibility. It's not about self-promotion. It's about God's glorification. Our lives are meant to be visible and reflect the glory of God in such a way that others, especially those in our wider community, are actually drawn to Him. We're not simply a blessing for ourselves, to ourselves, but we are a blessing to one another. We are called to be a blessing to the world around us. Think about that for a moment. In your daily life, your attitudes, your decisions, your words, the things that you do are meant to actually function as a signpost pointing people towards Jesus. Not subtly, not invisibly, but clearly pointing towards Jesus. I want you to think, here's an illustration of a lighthouse on a rugged coast. If you want, close your eyes for a moment and just think of that rugged coastline with a lighthouse and a storm on the horizon. And as you know, there's this rugged coast and the lighthouse is standing tall and it's shining brightly. And it's visible to every ship that passes by. The lighthouse is not there to draw attention to itself. It's not there to draw people to itself and into that area. It's there to guide, to warn, to help the ships pass by it safely through those dangerous waters. It's a guide and a direction. In the same way, God calls us to be that evident light in our community. Our visibility is not about our ego. It's so others might find hope, might find help, might find safe passage because of the light that shines from us, because of Christ in us. What does it look like to be a lighthouse in our city? You know, and so often we talk about churches being lighthouse churches, a place of guidance and drawing us, but not about this pinnacle of who we are, but about a place where people are active, a place where Christ's love is shining through them. But what does it mean for us? Well, it could mean as simple as this, as volunteering to be part of the bread ministry here at church. Or volunteering with a community organisation that are those that are helping those in need. It could be that during this week, you invite a neighbour to have a meal or a coffee or a conversation over the back fence. Provide a listening ear to somebody. I want to give you a very specific and simple example that you can actually do this week. You could actually attend Tackling Gambling Harm on Thursday night. And this forum here at church to hear how what devastation happens when people are addicted to gambling. And what we as a church, as an organization, and as individuals, how we can shed the light upon what's there and the dangers that are there. I want to say this as well. There's something else that is on the list, and we had these two announcements today. And the other one's about active bystanders, and it's some training here for us to actually recognize and understand where domestic violence and abuse is coming from, and to actually recognize the signs that are there. And to give you some tools to help stop that or put things into place so that it doesn't happen. And I want to say this all in honesty. We have more women signed up to that course so far than men. But men, guess what? This is something that you can be a lighthouse for. This is how to shine light into our community. Actually step up and do the training. You know, we were just hearing some stories from people about how, you know, they miss the signs of abuse happening. Men, we need to do better. What does it mean for us to actually take specific actions of love and hope that Jesus may be visible in our community in real, practical, tangible, concrete ways? So when we take intentional steps to care for those around us, our lives actually point towards God and God's goodness and grace. So often in the famous quote, you know, about the first Bible that somebody will read is you before they even read any words on text. But they also say a hungry person will never actually hear the message of God. So we need to step up and do those things. And it's not just about feeding those who are physically hungry. There are so many different forms of hunger out there. And safety and security is just one of those. Dignity and purpose is one of those. Jesus said, "Let your good deeds shine out so all can see." This is public, visible, and undeniable for us. I want to say this. There is no category in Scripture, in the Bible, that for a completely private Christianity. Faith is personal, yes, but is never meant to be hidden. Let me reinforce that. Faith is personal. We have a personal faith. We make the commitment ourselves, but it should never be hidden. It should change our lives. Paul reinforces this when we look at Philippians 2:15 and says, "Live a clean life, innocent life as children of God, shining like bright lights." And that word shining actually carries the idea of becoming visible, appearing clearly and being unmistakable. And notice that when Paul is writing to the Philippians, the context of that is he's writing to believers living in a Roman colony, a culture saturated with pagan values, moral compromise, and social pressure. Does that kind of sound familiar for us? Yet the instruction isn't to withdraw, it's to shine. So here's the application for us. What would it look like for your faith to become visible? Not obnoxious visibility, but undeniable visibility. Where has your faith become too private, especially when it comes to your presence in the wider community? Are there spaces in our community, our workplaces, our neighbourhoods, our sporting and social groups where our identity in Christ is actually hidden rather than visible? Visible holiness. This is what we need to achieve in a compromised culture. Paul doesn't just say shine. He tells us how to, like, live clean, innocent lives, hold firmly to the word of life. Shining is not about drawing attention to ourselves. It's about living in such a way that the difference is evident. Visible holiness, visible love, visible obedience, not perfection, but distinctiveness. See, in our culture that normalizes compromise, and in what happens, integrity stands out. So if you live a life of integrity to Christ and who Christ has done for us, that stands out. See, in a world that is driven by self-interest, sacrificial love stands out. In an environment filled with negativity, joy and hope stands out. And we have joy in Christ and hope in Christ. This is what it means to shine. And here's the tension. We don't try to shine to be impressive. We shine by being faithful. So what steps of obedience is God actually calling you to take on this week? What does it mean to live a clean and innocent in this current world that we have? What attitudes, what habits, what compromises may be dimming your light of Christ shining out to those around us? Because Christ doesn't want us to hide what God has already lit. Jesus gave a warning. He said, "No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket." And that kind of sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? You know, especially in that time when it was a flame. Why would you put something over the top? All that will happen is it will suffocate it and the flame will die. The light will be hidden. You will be in darkness. It sounds ridiculous, but spiritually it's happening all the time, let me tell you. Fear hides the light. Comfort hides the light. Approval seeking hides the light. We silence our faith to avoid that awkwardness. We blend in to avoid standing out. We compromise to avoid conflict. But Jesus is actually clear on this. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. God didn't place his life in us so that you could be concealed and hide it. He placed his light in us so that we could be seen. What basket might be covering your light right now? Is it fear? Is it busyness? Is it insecurity? You know, a practical way that you can kind of take this on in our own faith community this week is to actually have a conversation with somebody that you have not had a conversation with before. In our wider, broader community, it might be giving an act of kindness or sharing something. But church, I want to say this. Our challenge here at Pittwater Uniting Church is not only to be an inspiration for us here, your fellow believers, but to be an inspiration to the community. You know, often when I'm talking about Pittwater Uniting Church and somebody in the street and going, "Oh, wait, which church is it?" And they go, "Oh, that's the church up in the bush on the hill." And they talk about that's who we are. We're the church in the bush. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be different if instead of that, people are talking about, "Oh, that's the church that cares for those people, that tackle the hard issues like gambling or domestic violence that makes a practical difference, that changes people's lives. It's about being visible, being connected, and making a difference in the lives of those around us. And my final point I want to make is that in order to be visible, you actually have to stay connected in order to stay bright, so you can shine into the community. You know, you can't shine consistently if you're not deeply connected to Jesus Christ. Light is not self-generating, it is actually sustained by the source, and that is God. Paul says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." That's what that means, is that it's a connection. God is working in you, and your role is to actually cooperate with that work that God is doing in you. We actually don't manufacture God's light and God's presence in our line. We maintain the connection through prayer, through worship, through reading our Bible, through joining together in life groups, and being connected and inspired through Christ, through one another, for our community. So, the application is simple. Are you spending time in His Word, in prayer, in surrender to God? What is your connection with God like right now? Or do you need to reconnect because your light is growing dim? Jesus didn't say the world might notice you. He said a city on the hill cannot be hidden. The question is not if your life is visible, it's what is your life revealing? Are people seeing a reflection of God's glory in public space and community life? Are people seeing a distinct way of living? Are people seeing a compelling picture of Jesus? Are they seeing something different from the world around them? Or rather, are they seeing someone that blends in instead of standing out? Are they seeing the light of Christ in your life? Because God said, "You are the light." Not someday, not when you feel ready, but now. Let your light shine publicly, visibly, unmistakably in the heart of our community here at Pittwater and beyond, so that when people see your life, they are drawn not to you, but to God. This is how we become an inspiration and a living connection to the Word of God that is so clearly and deeply needed in our world around us. So, church, let's pray together. And we're going to invite the band up, and we're going to come into another time of worship, of praising God and sharing with God. So let's just pray together. Lord God, help us to live from who you say we are, from our identity in Christ. Lord, shape our lives so that your glory is visible in us. Lord, give us courage to shine in places where we've been hiding. And Lord, keep us deeply connected to you so that our light will never fade. Lord, we ask this in your holy name. Amen.